tax.
Each and every show, by now you're very accustomed to this, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us now. Hey, Victoria, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, you have to love the fact you're not getting any snow in D.C., so you're not slipping or sliding or slushing around. That's good news, huh?
We're happy about it. We're just hoping that it's going to stay this way. We don't trust it.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think there's going to be a really brutal couple of weeks in store in the Northeast. It's just a question of, are we talking about, you know, the end of February or crazy time in March when you're thinking spring, but spring still is not in sight, and instead we get that snow. That's happened a bunch. I've lived back east, and some of the worst snow I've ever seen, Victoria, happened at the tail end of March.
I'm expecting a March storm. I mean, that's really what I'm expecting right now. I just did a 10-day forecast on weather.com. It's fine. We're okay. We're okay for 10 days, but it's going to hammer us in March. I know it. I don't believe this.
I agree with you. Hey, speaking of storms, nothing accomplished yet on this payroll tax extension cut, whether or not they're going to be able to solve this riddle or what's happening. What's the latest with the Republicans and the Democrats there?
Well, it's a real mess. I mean, you've got Dave Camp, Representative Dave Camp, who's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, who's one of the conferees, is actually the grown-up in the room, the only grown-up so far, where he's saying, I think we're hearing from both leaders, and frankly, I guess my only point would be, let's let the conferees work. I don't think comments from either side of leadership, from either body, are particularly helpful. And we're referring to comments such as Steny Hoyer, Democrat from Maryland, number two, saying basically there are some here, frankly, who are just dissatisfied to have the economy not grow, not create jobs, not have GDP growth so it can help their politics. And then you've got John Boehner saying that Senate Democrats don't come to a table with a plan to offset this new spending that they're all for. You've got Dick Durbin basically saying we're back in the world of confrontation and saying there are some Republicans who think that dealing with it doesn't really work with their strategy of defeating President Obama. And then, you've got Chuck Schumer saying the Republican leadership said they wouldn't drag it out because they realized they were hurt politically by the events of December. Well, I guess they're masochists because they want to go through it again.
Yeah, no kidding. It's crazy. I mean, just round and round the merry-go-round they go on that one. So you have that. But with the whole stock thing, isn't that just done? I don't understand what's going on there. They're saying there's like a partisan kind of feeling now with the Stock Act, and at the House they're kind of going back and forth. I thought that was going to be an easy thing to solve, but I guess it's not.
Well, it was in the Senate, but nothing's easy in the House. And, you know, it's amazing what they're objecting to. One of the things they want to go for is obviously they want to bring in this thing that they think is going to impact Nancy Pelosi's alleged trade. But House Republican leaders are working to scale back or remove a provision intended to restore criminal penalties in some public corruption cases. And it's a provision it's a bipartisan provision. It's backed by Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat, and Senator John Cornyn, Republican. And they're both on the Judiciary Committee. But House Republicans are saying that it could ensnare corporate as well as public officials in conflict of interest allegations. Meantime, Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, is saying that, you know, they're ready to go. They're strengthening changes to Senate provisions that House Republicans find insufficient, and they want to clarify other ambiguities. Well, they've got to get most of the amendments, really. There's a meeting of the Rules Committee tomorrow, so they want to try and get everything done. But there's a lot of expansion in this. Cantor wants to expand the bill's disclosure requirements to cover federal officials, going beyond those who would now be covered, executive branch-wise. And so that's going to be controversial. I mean, this is the House.
This is the House. Nothing's easy.
No.
the house divided. You know how they talk about that, a house divided, etc. So we move from this to this last one that you told me about, this last nugget, crazy thing about a logo, a patch logo for the Air Force, a little branch of the Air Force. What's going on there? It was something to do with the word God.
Yeah, this is bizarre. Republican lawmakers led by Representative Randy Forbes of Virginia wrote a letter to the Air Force Secretary and the Chief of Staff, General Norton Schwartz, urging them to restore a logo with a reference to God. This is a reference to God in the patch logo for the Air Force Rapid Capabilities Office. And what it did say was doing God's work with other people's money. And there was a protest from the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers.
Who didn't like that? Yeah, obviously they didn't like the idea that that was stuck in there, like you said. The saying was changed last month, something to doing miracles with other people's money instead of doing God's work with other people's money, right?
Right, right. And, you know, it's like, really? But this is, you know, this is Randy Forbes' thing. He was the one who introduced In God We Trust back in November, to a bill to reaffirm it as the country's motto. Not that anybody, I don't think, thought that it ceased to be the country's motto.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the motto in the first place is kind of convoluted, actually, to me. When I was reading that, I was like, oh, after you said that. Never a dull moment in Washington, D.C. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, so one thing we didn't talk about with Victoria is the huge wins for Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum takes Minnesota. He also takes Missouri. And looking pretty good for Colorado. Now, keep in mind, these are caucuses, but there are delegates at stake here. So Santorum, this shows a little bit of momentum for him once again. Remember, he ultimately won Iowa, even though everybody was giving it to Mitt Romney, swinging into New Hampshire. So delegates, delegates, delegates. That's part of what we're going to talk about here. The race for the ultimate prize, getting into the White House, can really, it's the same old mantra that we keep talking about here on the show, and it's always the buzz in the background for Republicans, period. Who's the guy that can actually have a real shot at Barack Obama? So now Rick Santorum gets the mantle. A lot of people that feel as though you weren't getting much of a conservative in Mitt Romney and started to really wane on Newt Gingrich feel pretty positive about Rick Santorum. And by the way, Ron Paul finished rather closely to Santorum, especially in the Twin Cities. So Minnesota caucuses go the way of Santorum. Missouri had a non-binding primary that also in the lap of Santorum, and Colorado's delegates are up for grabs. So now it's an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You look at the delegate counter. I actually have one. You know, when you post stuff on your outside of your computer, I put a little map so that I would keep abreast of everything that was happening because it's easy to lose track. Remember, needed to win. Here's the finish line, 1,144. That's what you got to get. So when you look at the numbers now at this point, and this is going to flip a little bit, especially probably with Colorado, Mitt Romney is 102, Newt Gingrich 35, Ron Paul, this is delegates, 18, Rick Santorum 17, because remember, we're down to 4 now at this point. Hang with us, we're kicking the can down the road, we're going to mix it up, a lot of buzz in your backyards, I'm going to tell you why next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing early bird special. One dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7777. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. The price of roses will skyrocket during Valentine's Week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. One dozen stunning assorted roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least a full 7 days for only $19.99, and will include a free vase with every order. Remember, the price of roses can double, even triple during Valentine's Week, and this early bird special expires Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 7777.
Think the national debt is $15 trillion? Boston U economics professor Lawrence Kotlikoff astutely points out that after factoring in guarantees such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense expenditures, the national debt is closer to $211 trillion. Mathematically, this debt is not serviceable via taxation. And for politicians on Capitol Hill, default is not an option. So we can expect the Federal Reserve to monetize the shortfall, resulting in even more confiscation of our hard-earned savings via inflation. Hi, my name is Adam Miller with Midas Resources. In light of the MF Global swindle, it is now more apparent than ever that our savings investments are not secure in the hands of traditional banking institutions overseen by government technocrats kept in their back pockets. Call me today at 800-686-2237, extension 148, to find out how you can protect your savings from confiscation with liquid, portable, and private precious metals. I'll even send you a booklet titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold to serve as a guide. That number again is 800-686-2237, extension 148. 800-686-2237, extension 148.
After 70 years, it's what it goes there for. It's to unlock the door. All those around him criticize and say, and through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to Hollywood to talk to our man out there, Stephen Shohat. He was under the weather the last couple of weeks, so we're excited to chat back with him. Also, rumors, true, fair, or foul. We got a good one flying around about Madonna and whether or not she was performing a satanic ritual at the Super Bowl. Seriously. I mean it. Listen, the Illuminati always had its rituals between the new moon and the full moon. The full moon is in two more days. So was there something more to Madonna's performance than meets the eye?
What, are you kidding me?
I'm serious. Conspiracy theories abound.
Idiot! It's simple!
You might want to throw in on that one. All right, we got a good one here for you, though. I said the buzz in the backyard. We're going to jump back to, before we do that, we're going to jump back to some comments, by the way, on these primaries. Got a good one here from Rick, which, by the way, you got three ways that you can get on this show. How awesome is that? The trifecta. You got the digits 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net. Or you can go and chat us up through the PAL network, because we're on the PAL network, too. So you want to throw in your two cents on these primaries and really, what does it matter? Or who is the best person that's left of the four, unless there's a brokered primary, that can actually beat Obama? I mean, this is the question of the day every day. It's the question of the day every day that the Republicans are asking themselves who do this for a living. In other words, the ones like Rance Priebus, who is the RNC chairman, because this is what he has to look at when they're looking at money, when they're looking at fundraisers, when they're looking at the best of the best, when they're smoking cigars behind closed doors. What are they saying? We give, but we can't portray that? Or, man, let's try to throw a curveball into the process and come up with a brokered convention? Or no, Mitt Romney is the guy, and we're convinced he's going to win. So anyway, Rick says, Kate, does it matter that Santorum won? The Republican primary is nothing more than the clown car skit at the circus. So Rick says, who cares? Forget about it. Also, the other comment that we got that I thought was pretty good from Ralph, he says they call the caucuses beauty pageants, though, because they are non-binding, which is true. It is very odd. This is what I say. The whole election process in general is nothing more than a charade in some senses with the primary action. I mean, this goes for the Democrats, too. But what I really don't understand is how, no matter what the election is, no matter what kind of votes you're counting, why is it that we can't have some kind of normal ballot process that is uniform across the land? I mean, I don't care if you live behind a general store in a very small town, or you live in a thriving metropolis, or a medium-sized suburb. We live in the United States of America. We can't have a uniform process. I mean, it is kind of amazing, isn't it? We have uniform tax forms. We all have our Social Security IDs. There are a lot of things that are standardized. But the one thing we can't seem to get right is the election process. It was like the last primary there. Well, think of Iowa. Starting things off in Iowa, yes, it's caucuses, but in counting everything, the count is wrong. I don't understand. And that's just the caucus procedure, the beauty pageant, if you will, according to Ralph. All right, here's the thing that affects all of us in this country besides elections, is going through the airport screening process. Raise your hand if you hate it. Oh, I have my special glasses on, and I can see that a lot of people are raising their hands because really nobody likes to go through the process in general. Let's face it. There's just something that some people get anxious, some people are frustrated, and some people just think it's a big annoyance and it's a charade, speaking of circuses. So now the Senate passed a bill that allows airports to evict TSA screeners. So what does that mean? Well, it means that there's a provision that allows airports all across the country to replace TSA screeners with private security. Yeah, booyah. This is what I've been saying all along. If we are serious about security and we're not just winking and saying, oh, you know, that's we are advertising on pizza boxes in Washington, D.C. for TSA employees, then you would up the ante at these airports and get ex-agents, ex-PIs, whatever, because they're trained in human behavior much better. Not that the TSA folks, none of them are. They are. And not that any of them aren't former police officers or whatever they might be. But all in all, the best way to do it is to really get those people in full force. Because if you have that, then you have the people who are, whoops, profiling. I mean, studying human behavior so they can see when something's not right. So this really opens the door, kicks it open to just level aviation security, I think, pretty much. The bill mostly was concerned with how the FAA would be funded for the next 4 years, but it also included something that would force the TSA to reconsider applications from airports to replace TSA workers with their own security, with their own privately hired screeners. So some companies would have an easier time winning contracts to operate airport checkpoints. That's what would happen. And then those airports that choose to do that could hire the kind of people that I'm talking about, or go in whatever direction they want to go in. I mean, there's just been a massive backlash, let's face it, against the TSA, and there should be, because of some of the stupid things that have happened. Some of the crazy groping things didn't make any sense, and then they changed it. Oh, kids, we don't have to do that anymore. Even big signs. The last time I traveled going to the Northeast twice, there were signs about, oh, kids don't have to take off their shoes, really? So it takes an incident, several incidents, for that to happen. Dummies on Parade. And now John Pistole is going to have a nightmare on his hands. He's the head of the TSA. Because remember, in January last year, there were a number of airports that wanted to opt out of the TSA. In fact, it had gotten up to about 16 or 17 or so. And so now that this legislation, let's see what happens with it. But it's, well, it's gone through because it's part of that FAA bill. That would require the TSA to have to reconsider applications for private screeners. But before they said no, they weren't even going there. Now they have to. Now they'd have to. And a lot of airports are saying if they contract security people, that they're going to be nicer than the government people, the government workers, and they're going to get the job done much better. So I'm going to say I hope that when I'm traveling, I see that this happens. I see that I get to experience that. I mean, the enhanced pat-downs, that kind of stuff, all that nonsense, that when it makes no sense, people in wheelchairs, the kids, we know the stories. We know the stories. It's nutty. And so finally this goes through. I think the big mistake was the shakedown of Senator Rand Paul. Now, then there's people that say, well, that's not the whole picture. The TSA always says that. They don't comment, and then they come out with something different. And I'm on the side of the people that go through, because I think in many of these cases there's not much exaggeration, in fact, at all. So remember that the strip searching of the women in the 80s just before Christmas and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it makes no sense. So bravo. I hope that we see the full force of this in action, and it will absolutely affect all of us, because I think we'll have a better and safer time, to be honest, traveling. That's the good news, is I would feel safer. Listen, and that's also a difference. If somebody's treating me differently and there is an ex-FBI agent, although they'd probably be hard-pressed to take that job, well, let's say an ex-cop, an ex-detective, bored with retirement, getting some decent money, willing to do it, you know, they're going to be able to see these signs, the things of what might come through, because they're trained in that. They have so many years on the beat of knowing what to look for. I mean, I'm sure there were some people in the TSA, like I already have qualified, that fit that description, that were people who worked as a police officer or worked as, you know, who knows, a private security officer their entire life. But the more that we infiltrate our airports with those kind of people, I think the better off and the safer we'll all be. You may disagree, and you might think I'm pounding the TSA too much. You can throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791. You're going to have to hold that till after this next segment, because we've got Stephen Shohat waiting in the wings. Stay with us.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on healthcare and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a Brick Pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent. How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
So the Oscars are coming up in a couple of weeks, and who better to talk about the history of the Oscars with than our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat. He is the ultimate storyteller, and I think he is a big fan of history. Hey, Stephen, I wanted to ask you this question before. Do you like history of all sorts besides Hollywood stuff?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm always finding out new stuff. I love Revolutionary War history, and one of the things I did in the book, Hollywood Stories, was not only tell the stories about the movies, but tell the stories about things like the real-life relationship between Mozart and Salieri, or the real-life story of the Von Trapps in The Sound of Music, or of Oscar Schindler, or some of the Western figures like Butch Cassidy and Jesse James, and that to me was one of the real treats of doing research for the book, was going beyond what you see on the screen, and it just fascinated me. Just all the sorts of different people, like William Ralston was the a redheaded Irishman who had a scandal in England, so he left England, and he fell in love with a Spanish noblewoman, and he had a scandal in Spain, so he ended up in Mexico, and he felt bad for the people in Mexico being oppressed by the Spanish crown and spoke out about it, and he was locked in a dungeon, made a miraculous escape, started putting graffiti on the walls of Spanish officials, was captured again, sentenced to death. As the years went by, his exploits of womenizing and swordsmanship became more renowned and probably exaggerated, and he was the inspiration for the character of Zorro.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
So
yeah.
All sorts of stuff like that really, really fascinated me. And hopefully if people pick up Hollywood Stories, they'll be fascinated by it too, besides getting some laughs.
Yeah, that's the key. The laughs are one of the best things in the book, no doubt about it. The Oscars go back. What was the genesis for the Oscars? How did that all start?
It was Louis B. Mayer, 1926, the head of MGM, at that time by far the most powerful studio, wanted to build a house in Santa Monica on the beach. And he wanted the studio people to do it, the set builders, and they refused to do it because they had a union. And I'll tell you, he might have been better off because Charlie Chaplin had done the same thing. He had used his studio people to build his house. And according to legend, the house in Beverly Hills used to fall apart from the inside because they were used to building things that could be taken down later. So Chaplin's house was known as Breakaway. But be that as it may, with Louis B. Mayer, he was afraid of unions popping up amongst the artistic community in Hollywood, that the actors, the writers, the directors would follow suit and form unions. So he came up with this idea, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, to be an arbitration board. Say you're an employee and you have a grievance, you go to the Academy and they decide who's right and who's wrong between you and management. And naturally, since the Academy was formed by management, it was more likely to come down in favor of that side. And Mayer had a series of meetings over at his house with other people like Douglas Fairbanks and Conrad Nagel, and they said, well, what else can the Academy do? And they came up with this idea of giving special awards for achievement every year, in addition to the potential union busting. And there were reasons for that. Number one, to sort of get the public's minds off some of the scandals that have been happening in Hollywood the last couple of years. Number two, was an excuse to have a party. You know, Mayer loved to dance. Actually, the first Academy Awards, they spent most of the time dancing. They already knew who the winners were, and the actual passing out of the awards took only 5 minutes. Now, as time went on, Mayer began to realize that in order to bring more suspense to the whole proceedings, it would be better if the public and the recipients did not know who was going to win, and it developed from there.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, has it gotten more prestigious, less prestigious? What I wonder is sometimes you hear the stars and they seem just, they're blown away. They can't even, and that you can tell it's authentic. They can't believe they're nominated. Then you hear others that kind of dismiss it like, oh, everybody's lobbying for them. Where do you think it stands now?
Well, I think, you know, it goes person to person, and some people are very sincere, and other people might be blasé about it. I think, for example, if Jean Dujardin wins for The Artist and has a chance to become a star in America, I think he would be sincerely moved by that. I think most people would be, to be honest with you. I mean, it looks like Viola Davis right now has a chance to pull an upset because the Screen Actors Guild voted for her over Meryl Streep. But I think, you know, it would truly be a breathtaking moment for her. She's been working so hard the last couple of years since she got her Academy Award nomination for the movie Doubt. Where I think they lose some prestige is I don't know. They some people stand up there and they you know, might say some inappropriate language or something like that. I think there's a prestige loss. Some of the old guard Hollywood people, if they were watching like a John Wayne or Frank Sinatra, might not always approve of some of the behavior up there on stage.
See, and here's what I think that's buggy to me, Stephen. I hate, and I understand it because it takes so many people, it takes a village to build up a movie star, but when they go through 50,000 names of people you've never heard of that they're thanking on their team, I think they need to limit that.
Yeah, well, hopefully they could say something. I mean, it's tough. It's tough because you have the personal thing and you have this billions of people watching, and the billions of people watching might not be interested in who exactly the team is. So hopefully they can find the balance. A lot of people know that Meryl Streep, for example, did not mention when she won the Golden Globe Award, she didn't give any thanks to Margaret Thatcher. So, yes. I mean, it's tough to have an appropriate speech probably when you're caught in the moment and all those people are watching and hopefully they'll say good things and it'll be a positive thing when the award recipients get it. They're definitely on the spot.
The other thing we wanted to talk about, and you sent me a note about this, I thought, oh, that's so cool. Zsa Zsa Gabor, how old is Zsa Zsa Gabor turning?
Officially 95, and I absolutely wish her the best. I can tell you a story. I'm a tour guide in Hollywood. That's how I started collecting all these stories, and we did a tour one time, and there was this store called Fred Heyman's, and Zsa Zsa Gabor was there. And this store, they used to serve cappuccinos, and they'd spike them with Kahlua and brandy, and I could get them for my customers. And the more people drank, the more they enjoyed the tour, by the way. And Zsa Zsa Gabor was there, and she was talking to the bartender, who was a really beautiful girl, whose name was Laura. And she says, oh, sweetheart, your skin is so nice. How do you keep your skin so nice? I must know your secret. And she said, I'll tell you, darling, the secret is stay away from the booze. I mean, she wouldn't let Laura answer the question. She said, oh, the booze is a killer, darling. Stay away from the booze. And then she says, by the way, darling, put a little extra brandy in the cappuccino today, will you? But she laughed when she said that, and she was just so nice and took pictures with everybody. Ever since then, I've been a big Zsa Zsa Gabor fan. So I can tell you another thing about her. The one thing, she always went with Bob Hope to entertain the troops. I mean, Bob Hope had problems from time to time getting stars to go with him because it was a very difficult journey sometimes, and you know, you're not going to get the best accommodations, and some people would go with him once and then not want to go through with it anymore. But Zsa Zsa Gabor, whenever her schedule allowed it, and she didn't always work that frequently as an actress, would go with Bob Hope every single time.
Yeah, boy, and I bet you there are so many stories about Zsa Zsa Gabor. Are you kidding? I mean, everybody's seen it. There's like 6 degrees of separation, I think, certainly in old Hollywood, right?
Right. And of course, she had that running gag with Bob Hope, where they go on the stage together, and Bob Hope would say, "Zsa Zsa, is it true you don't have any domestic skills at all?" And, what are you talking about, Robert, darling? I'm a great housekeeper. Every time I get the divorce, I keep the house.
I like that. I keep the house. Stephen Shohead, you're always a delight. And the book that he's written that just lives on and forever and ever, Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Pick it up. Good stuff. Stephen, he's down better, too, so that's good news. You're healing.
Yeah, my throat is much better. Thank you very much.
Boy, it's so tough when you have a sore throat. Oh, the worst is when you're trying to do radio with a sore throat. Stephen, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Kate.
Thanks. One thing that happens on Tuesday, it's interesting. Tuesday is also the day when the DVDs drop and when the new movies come out. We're going to start to do that here on the show too, mention some of the new things that are coming out. I'll tell you one thing that's become interesting with streaming shows now, television shows and whatnot. You can really get hooked into a lot of the television entertainment that's out there. So you've got series after series after series. I'll tell you one that I watch. I'm not a huge TV watcher because, you know, usually it's probably a business or sports or political stuff that I'm watching, maybe documentaries and a few other choice things, movies. I'm big into movies. But I started watching the series Breaking Bad. I started to watch more of it. I had seen a little bit of it, but now I am so hooked into Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston and the rest of the crew in that series. And thanks to, it was Vudu, I think, that we caught it on. The streaming is a killer when you do that. Except for there's no commercials and you can just sit and watch. You don't have to be hanging on the edge of your seat waiting for the next season because it's all there. I mean, really, I think that's the future, only it's going to be on our phones. It already is. You can download stuff on your iPad. All right, hang with us. We're going to mix it up in a couple of different directions, including somebody else who's decided to run for president. Guess who?
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
For president in just a second. Rick Santorum, he clears the deck, taking Minnesota. Remember, this is caucus stuff. He takes Minnesota, takes Missouri, and it's looking like Colorado, too. There's more delegates at stake, though, with Colorado, because non-binding in Missouri, you're getting really nothing there. I'm going to agree with Ralph. It's a beauty pageant, so you can say you won. right? And Ron Paul, by the way, who a lot of us really like, came in second in Minnesota. I'm going to give you all the numbers. Don't worry about that. We'll run through all those boring numbers in just a second. I mean, they're not boring. They're important, so you can see where things fall. We did give you the delegates at the top, but before we do that, I got to ask you this question. I was thinking about this today. Somebody asked me what was on my bucket list, and do you know that I have never really thought about that in those terms? Maybe, okay, I want to go travel to Ireland where my family was fun and from and trace the roots of, you know, the roots of my family, or I want to do X, Y, Z, but I guess I didn't really officially make a list. You know, now I'm starting to feel like, gosh, maybe I feel pressure, like I have to have a list. And the guy that was talking about this said, well, I'll tell you one thing you should consider to put on your bucket list. You should consider skydiving. I mean, what a thrill that would be. And remember that movie Bucket List, they do the skydiving thing. But I got to tell you, I had a chance once to skydive, and I was going to do it, and the guy that I was going to go with chickened out. This was when I was going to school at Ohio University, and in West Virginia, they would take people up, and you could jump out, and I was game. But the guy that I was going to go with got cold feet big time and then talked me out of it, so I didn't do it. So then I come across this thing about this skydiver who's going to jump from the edge of space. I mean, that's really the description. I saw a headline, and that's what the headline said, so I read a little deeper on this. He's going to do it from a helium balloon. Would you do that 120,000 feet in the air? And now, he's a daredevil dude. His name is Felix Baumgartner, and he's going to leap from a small capsule into the sky. I mean, he'll be in the history books, whether he makes it whole or not. Hopefully he makes it whole. He'd be in the Guinness books for sure. And his company is sponsoring the deal, and they've been talking about this for 3 years. They've been planning this. He's been planning this skydiving thing, you know, for 3 years. Jumping out of a capsule? Oh. And Baumgartner is an Austrian extreme athlete, so you know. He's a daredevil, like I said, and he wants to make the supersonic jump from the edge of space. I have a feeling once he does that, he's going to own that record for a very long time. I don't know that there's too many people that will have the same idea and try to break his record. You know, that's always the thing with records, Guinness Book of World Records. Who's going to break that record next? And I don't think he's going to be challenged too much in that category. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. All right, speaking of being challenged, I won't tease you anymore with this, but would you vote for Roseanne Barr for president? I want you to take a few seconds to think about it. Yes, it's true. Roseanne, the ultimate butcherer of the Star-Spangled Banner, remember, is running. She's running on the Green Party, under the Green Party label, we'll call it. How's that? So she's going green, and I'm wondering if she thinks she'll even really get any votes. Do you think Roseanne has an audience? There's a few people that might say, right on. Right on, Roseanne. I'll vote for you, sure. Here's the thing. All of a sudden, she's super, not that she hasn't always been opinionated, but all of a sudden, she's pretty politically opinionated. She's been on Bill Maher's show a couple of times, and I don't think she cares much for the White House, and I think that she doesn't, obviously, I don't think she cares for anybody on the right side. So, jump into the Green Party lane. Yes, there may be some people that would vote for Roseanne, but I'm thinking if she gets 5,000 votes, she's probably doing good. What do you think? How many votes do you think Roseanne would actually get under the Green Party? I'm thinking she's not a threat to anyone. She's not a threat to ruining Obama's chances of, once again, retaining his crown as far as taking some Democrats away, let's just say. Rick Santorum won the Missouri primary and the Minnesota caucuses Tuesday night. And Mitt Romney, you know, again, he's the supposed establishment guy, front-runner guy. And he's leading in the Colorado caucuses, too, because that's not official yet. So I say this, I just discussed this with some people, we've talked about it on the air, the Anybody But Romney movement is alive and well. Only the endorsers need to wake up and realize that the people who want to vote for a Republican do not, a lot of people do not want to vote for Mitt Romney. I mean, how many people in this audience are supporting Mitt Romney? How many of you get excited when you think about Mitt Romney? And honestly, and don't go with the force feed stuff. Oh, I'm hearing his name. See, that's the thing. Hearing his name a lot, hearing that constantly. Well, you know what? I think Rick Santorum, he's selling his stuff, and people are buying what Rick Santorum has to say much more than Mitt Romney. And I don't know, is this blowback on the monetary thing? Is this that people see, oh, he has so much money? I hope not, because who cares about that? Because he's made money in a capitalistic society, that shouldn't be the reason why. But I think the real thing is that he's too stiff. There's not a lot of personality feel with Mitt Romney through the camera, you know, through the lens. I don't think you get that from Romney, among probably a myriad of reasons why people really don't want Romney, because he's maybe a little bit Barack Obama in a different direction. Let's say he's super, super moderate, and that's not washing with anybody who's a conservative. So Mitt Romney began the day the leader in the delegate chase. He had 101 of the 1,144 needed to capture the nomination, as we've talked about before, at the Republican National Convention this summer in Tampa. Gingrich had 32, Santorum 17, and Paul 9. But you take all that together, the number of delegates at stake Tuesday is the largest one-day total in the race to pick the person who's going to run against Barack Obama. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of television advertising in Colorado or Minnesota, and there wasn't a debate. You know, you didn't have these debates that we've been having along the way. And look at the difference in now what has happened and the big switch there with, you know, in these three different areas that go toward Santorum. Not until the primaries in Michigan and Arizona on the 28th is the campaign going to have that, you know, feel of the massive eyes of the world, I guess, on them, because they're going to have the more of the debating and stuff. And it's big because Super Tuesday, too, coming up on March 6th, 416 convention delegates at stake there. That's huge. That's a 10-state swing. That's why I kept saying, oh, I think Super Tuesday's it, Super Tuesday's it. I mean, how many times did I say that, pronounce that on this show? But now we're gonna see with the haul here, depending on what happens in Colorado, that you're gonna have Rick Santorum right behind Mitt Romney, pretty much on his heels. How about that? But I went back in history and looked at this. John McCain lost 19 states in 2008. So keep that in mind. Mitt Romney's camp is saying, hey, we're not going to win every contest. Look what's happened in the past. Wow. This is interesting. It's interesting now to see what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks and then all the way till March 6th. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
He could take the endorsement and shove it.
Fantastic. This is great.